This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
You're back with PT Talker, the place for business news and ideas just for therapists. We're so glad you joined us. I want to say thank you. My name is Jeff Worrell. I'll be your host today as we talk a little bit about the healthcare reform issues that seem to be front and center, certainly in the major media outlets, as well as for our listeners. I'm getting feedback and email from people who want to know what we think about it. So I went out and found an expert. Well, don't want to put any pressure on you, Joe, but Joe Ovolio, who is a physical therapist. He's the owner of Athens Therapeutics and Physical Wellness Center located in Athens, Georgia. Joe, thank you for coming on our show today to be our expert on just some really interesting, maybe a different perspective than a lot of people are talking about. So welcome to our show.
Thanks. Great being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's get started. You talked about earlier when we were kind of preparing for the show about some of your thoughts as it relates to healthcare reform and how you believe there needs to be more discussion about the prevention side of things. And obviously, our listeners out there all know that money is the big key. And are you under the belief that if there was a little bit more prevention and based on some review of the literature out there, that you think that you could help this problem by there being a little bit more prevention?
Yeah, I definitely do. As I've been listening a lot to the debate on healthcare reform from all sides, you know, definitely the debate has focused on who's going to pay for mm-hmm. healthcare. And what I think is the pink elephant in the room is, why does healthcare cost so much? Why do we need so much of it? And generally, why are our population so sick that they require so much healthcare? So what my interest in this issue mainly is trying to put a little bit more emphasis on prevention and health promotion, and essentially trying to create a culture of health where we can have a healthier society, where people don't have to enter the medical system for treatment. Most of, you know, the focus of the money spent in healthcare is on taking care of a patient mm-hmm. after they get ill. And comparatively, so little of it is spent on trying to keep people healthy, trying to keep them out of the system.
So is that, when I look at the name of your facility, you even have physical wellness in the name of your facility. Obviously, this is a key part of your philosophy as you treat patients?
Yeah, very much so. As physical therapists, inevitably, you know, we get people more on the illness or injury side of the health wellness spectrum. But our goal when we work with them is, you know, once we get them back to where they want to be as far as their function, along the way, we also want to be doing a lot of education with them so that hopefully it's going to make a positive effect in their lifestyle habits, and they're less likely to return, you know, as a patient again. Mm-hmm. You know, example of which is we'll commonly see, you know, orthopedic-type issues like osteoarthritis of the knees, and typically those folks are overweight, and that's a large part of what's contributing, you know, to their problems. So just to address the knee problem is helpful, but to educate them a little bit more about their diet, their lifestyle, their physical activity, I think you have a greater chance of them actually making changes for themselves that will lessen the chance that they'll have knee pain or require a knee replacement further down the line.
Mm-hmm. So with some of this common sense, you were telling me earlier that you found some indicators that there are some areas that maybe physical therapists could focus a little bit more on that might help in this prevention side. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. One thing I've gotten very interested in is this research into what they call the blue zones of the world. And there's basically six different areas of the world where people have higher longevity rates than other parts of the world. People in this area often live past the age of 100, live very active lifestyles. the six different areas are in Italy, an island off the coast of Italy, Sardinia, Okinawa, Japan. There's a Seventh-day Adventist community in Loma Linda, California, a section of Costa Rica, and a town in Greece. Now, what the researchers who are following these areas did is they went in and studied the lifestyle habits of the people that live in these areas. And they found the areas which overlap, which are common to all six of these blue zones. Mm-hmm. And those characteristics are that the people there are non-smokers. They have mainly a plant-based diet, which is the majority of their food is consumed from plants, vegetables, fruits, and other sorts. Included in that, they have a large intake of legumes, including lentils, beans, peas. The folks in this area are always engaged in constant, moderate physical activity. It's an integrated part of their life. It's not a very sedentary lifestyle at all in these areas. They also have strong social engagements where people of all ages are active members of the community. And the other thing that's common between all these areas is that family is very important and that family is put ahead of other concerns. Now, if we kind of break that down into categories, basically what you're looking at is diet, nutrition, you're looking at exercise and physical activity, and you're looking at non-physical aspects of health, including mental, emotional, social, and spiritual health.
So I guess as physical therapists, or my knowledge of our clients is that they're probably pretty good at dealing with diet, excellent at dealing with exercise. How do you think they do as far as dealing with some of those non-physical areas?
I think kind of mixed. You know, it depends on what model that the physical therapist is working under. I know certainly, you know, in my experience, and I've worked all over the country as a physical therapist, I have found a lot of my colleagues to be very compassionate therapists who will kind of delve into, you know, some of the personal issues that the person is having and just be an ear for them or an outlet for them. And I think that's very healthy as well because people need that social connection. I think a lot of it depends on their own comfort level. Some people, you know, have a hard time with those boundaries and would rather not get involved, and I certainly respect that as well. So I think a lot of it depends on their comfort levels. And I think more than anything, it's just having an awareness of that importance of that aspect of health. And if it's not something they feel comfortable dealing with, then certainly maybe making suggestions or referring them out to a behavioral specialist
or like someone that could
or
help.
Someone, yeah, that can really get into it more with them. I think there's a lot of simple things that us as physical therapists can do to help with the stress management aspect of things, such as giving the patient relaxation or breathing exercises or little imagery techniques to help reduce their perception of pain as well as trying to relax their body. In our practice here, we really specialize in dealing with people with chronic pain, so we see it very often that there's always a very strong link to with the physical issues and the non-physical issues as well. Typically, a lot of the patients that we see, you know, also have depression. They also have anxiety. And maybe if it's not, you know, a clinically diagnosed thing, you can tell that there's a lot of stress in their life, and it's manifesting itself in physical ways with the patient.
Mm-hmm. So if some of our listeners out there wanted to start implementing some of these things, you believe some of these techniques, maybe dealing with some of the non-physical areas, you believe that that would do what in the end?
Well, I think it's helping to create a healthier population.
Okay.
You know, and it's a more well-rounded package. It's addressing more of the issues that are at hand. You know, I found myself through my career, as I was working with patients early on, of course, I was working within what I felt comfortable and what my knowledge base was, which was more the exercise principle, the physical activity, the structural aspects of what was going on with them, the biomechanics, using manual therapies and modalities. And, you know, you start to see these patterns of people where it's, you know, it's more than just physical with them. There's, you know, large non-physical components. And again, it's not up to us to completely deal with that, but I think if at least we acknowledge it, do some basic things, I think that goes a long way in, as far as our outcomes go, as well as, you know, for the general well-being of the patient.
So it might even be perceived as a more well-rounded treatment protocol.
Right,
if,
exactly.
If that mental is included.
Right.
Now, how do you deal with the therapists who maybe are feeling some pressure because of maybe decreased reimbursement or staff shortages on the timing of all this? How much time to spend with the patient? Could you just give us a little insight there?
Well, I can only speak from my experience and my practice currently. Since we're dealing with more chronic pain, these are types of cases that require more one-on-one attention, requires more education. So in our practice, we only schedule one patient an hour.
Mm.
And to a lot of therapists I've talked to, it's like, wow, how do you even survive doing that?
Yeah.
And a lot of it depends on the demographics and the economics of the area you live in. I know, talking with friends of mine that live in New York, it would be impossible to do that because where the reimbursement is there, if they only saw one patient an hour, they wouldn't even cover their costs. Fortunately, we have a better reimbursement schedule here in Georgia where I am, where I'm working and where my practice is. And I've had to make tough business decisions to try to stick with that. For instance, there's a commercial insurance, private insurance company that a lot of people in the community here have, and I've tried several times to become an in-network provider with them. But unfortunately, the reimbursement that they were offering just wouldn't work as far as my cost structure went, and I would end up losing money on visits. So I either had to compromise the one visit an hour and give up that time and that interaction with the patient, or I had to just stay out of network and hope that the patient would still find value in what we did and would still decide to come and see us under their out-of-network benefits.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's worked out pretty well, but that's when we kind of get into the business side of things
more. Yeah.
That you have to, you have to pick and choose, the plans that you join with and the reimbursements that will work for whatever model that you're using.
Right. So as a successful business person, physical therapist who owns their own practice, any thoughts, and we just have a few minutes left here, but any thoughts in closing about what physical therapists should do as far as responding to the healthcare form that's out there right now? Anything that you're doing or can recommend?
Well, I think the number one thing is to really educate ourselves as to what is being proposed. I'm always an advocate of really listening to all sides of the argument. I've been perusing the APTA website, which has a lot of terrific information that really keeping up to date on the issue as it's changing. And really, a lot of the information they're putting out is what's relevant to physical therapists. They've even started doing podcasts of their own on the APT website, which is a great way to download it onto your iPod, listen to it in the car, 10, 15-minute kind of summary of where things are at and specifically, what how it affects physical therapy practice, should certain proposals go through.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Well, Joe, we are out of time, so I'm going to have to let you go, and I know you're a busy guy, but I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. It was fun.
Yeah, and remember Joe Ovolio, he's a physical therapist who owns his own practice, Athens Therapeutics and Physical Wellness Center. If you have any questions for Joe or you want to get in touch with him, feel free to send an email to feedback@pttalker.com, and I'll be happy to forward any of those questions on to Joe. Joe, would you ever consider coming back on the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime.
I have like about 30 more questions I'd love to ask you. So anyway, for all of our listeners out there, we won't keep you any longer. We know you want to go see patients. So I want to thank you for joining us today on PT Talker and remind everyone out there that previous episodes are always available at iTunes, and all you need to do is subscribe either there or at pttalker.com. This is Jeff Worrell. We're happy to bring you, hopefully, what you find an informative podcast, bringing you a weekly expert in the world of physical therapy. So long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.